Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankum.
And we are so honored each week to be able to speak with an amazing guest who is a voice of light. We really want to uplift and provide uplifting content for our listeners. And this week, we have the amazing privilege to speak with Dr. Amos C. Brown. Dr. Brown is a native of Jackson, Mississippi. He's been the pastor of San Francisco's Third Baptist Church since 1976. As a scholar, theologian, preacher, and social activist, he has maintained a marriage of piety and political action in his ministry. He became equipped for his distinct leadership through his training at Morehouse College and earned degrees of Master of Divinity from Crozer Theological Seminary and the Doctor of Ministry from United Theological Seminary. Before becoming pastor at Third Baptist, he served as pastor of St. Paul's Baptist Church in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and Pilgrim Baptist Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. Last year, Dr. Brown introduced President Russell M. Nelson of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People Conference and helped bestow a service award upon President Nelson. Known among world leaders, presidents, celebrities, and academics alike for his trademark activism, intellectual discipline, and masterful oratory, Dr. Brown is a legend in his own time. Tutored by Medgar Evers, Benjamin Mays, Samuel Williams, Pius Barber, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as one of the 8 students in the only class Dr. King taught in his lifetime at Morehouse College, Dr. Brown was awarded the Martin Luther King Jr. Ministerial Award for outstanding leadership and contributions to the Black Church in America. He was also inducted into the International Hall of Fame at the King International Chapel at Morehouse College, and for a second time was invited by President and First Lady Barack and Michelle Obama to a Christmas reception at the White House. Dr. Brown, welcome, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity that I cherish and covet to be engaged in conversation in order that we might fulfill what I consider the 5-star E's: enlightened, engaged, encouraged, empathetic, excellent, in order that we might be empowered. And in the world, unfortunately, there's too much of a sense of powerlessness. And people who feel that they are powerless, overlooked and slighted, will lash out, react, and not respond as decent, moral, and ethical agents. So I think that what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is now doing under the leadership of President Nelson, the Council of the 12, is what this world needs right now. America is living in the dark ages, and somebody needs to light candles of enlightenment, of engagement, of encouragement, of empathy, and excellence, that we might save America and ultimately the world from the midnight of the soul that we are presently experiencing. So you are to be commended for providing a platform for persons in the general public to not have occasion of hearing sound bites, but hopefully they will be engaged in a patient, respectful conversation that will bring about the fulfillment of those 5 E's that I just enumerated.
That's awesome, Dr. Brown. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. And obviously, there are differences that exist between the Baptist Church and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. What similarities are there, if any? And maybe talk a little bit about your relationship with the church and also your brother from another mother, President Russell M. Nelson.
Well, the first thing that we must say is that the NAACP, Third Baptist Church, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints both share a common experience of struggle, sadness, and sorrow. African Americans were very much treated as being less than human by the Atlantic slave trade. That was in action for 4 to 500 years when our ancestors were treated as tools, how they were captured in the motherland, Mother Africa, and brought here against their wills. And particularly in America, for 250 years, built the economy of this nation. And that's why James Weldon Johnson in 1900, on the occasion of the anniversary of the centennial celebration of the birth of Abraham Lincoln, penned these words: "Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won." And that second verse goes on to say, "Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers sighed." And in the midst of the struggle of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that began back in April the 9th, 1830, up in Fayette, New York, there was birth a struggle, which those persons who used to be called Mormons, but they have a new revelation, they have a new understanding, a new talk and a new walk, and they have come to call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But that church was born out of struggle, I repeat. Why? Because in America, there were just some folks who unfortunately did not have the moral fiber or the ethical behavior to respect people who were different, who had different understandings of spirituality, who had different understandings of how to respond to God. And what happened? They were persecuted. But in the midst of their persecution, like African Americans, we sang a song and we sang through the crisis. And Brother Clayton penned that national anthem of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. "Come, come ye saints, no toil nor labor fear, but with joy wend your way. Though hard to you this journey may appear, grace shall be as your day. 'Tis better far for us to strive," there it is, "strive to struggle, our useless cares from us to drive. Do this and joy your hearts will swell. All is well, all is well." So that's why I was able to introduce President Nelson in Detroit 2 years ago at our annual meeting of the NAACP and present him as a brother of another mother for the Church of Jesus Christ embraces throughout its history our common experience of struggle. And we have succeeded in spite of the struggle. And we're looking forward to even bigger and better things happening in America. For I contend respectfully that God just might be calling the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, Third Baptist, Black Faith Community, and NAACP to redeem the soul of this nation. For there is too much of a mirroring of what I call counterfeit spirituality. That's not about love, not following in the footsteps of Jesus of Nazareth, but it is following nationalism, racism, anti-Semitism, and all of those isms that are injurious to the welfare of the human family. And we are brothers and sisters, definitely. For the paleontologist Leakey, that great scholar, said that our first habitat, our first home, was in Mother Africa. Where? In the Rift Valley. Where's the Rift Valley? In Kenya and Ethiopia. But as humankind migrated from Mother Africa to Asia, to Europe, ultimately here to America, what happened? When we left home, our first habitat, we failed to do what my mother admonished me to do in Mississippi whenever I left home. She said, Amos, behave. Don't take anything that doesn't belong to you. Don't ask for anything. Let someone offer you something. We lost our manners. We failed to behave. And wherever we stopped, on the banks of a river, on a beach, a spot to develop unique and different ways of doing things, which became what they call culture, we developed, unfortunately, this dichotomous thinking of them against us, us against them. Instead of mastering that little pronoun, we, not them, not you, not those people, but we are family. We are all related. We have come from one blood. If my blood is O type, yours is O type, and you are sick and you need a blood transfusion, if you don't take my blood because my skin is dark, because I have different features, you will be a dead duck on arrival at the emergency ward. But we all bleed. We all come from a common blood and various blood types, but still blood is blood. And that's what America needs to understand today. That's what the present leadership of this nation needs to understand. That we are all human. And as Dr. King taught us in that seminar in social philosophy, the notion of personalism that Dr. Brightman taught him up at Boston University when Dr. King was studying for his PhD degree in systematic theology. What is personalism? Personalism says, each of us is a person endowed with dignity, with worth, and should be respected. That's what Aretha Franklin was talking about when she sang that song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. It was a clarion call for respect for the worth and dignity of all human beings. even though they may see reality differently, they may have different faith traditions, they may have different life experiences, but still a person is a person. And that's why those policemen, unfortunately, up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, near where I used to pastor in, and also the same spot where President Nelson got his medical training. See, we have traveled also similar paths, not just being a brother of another mother, but he got his academic training in part at the University of Minnesota, where my wife also got her master's degree. And I pastored the historic St. Paul Baptist, the Pilgrim Baptist Church of St. Paul, Minnesota. And for him to go on the same trail and to have been brought by God to this point of our coming together, what do? We become instruments of bringing the beloved community, of tangibilitating, as Sweet Daddy Grace said in his word that he created, tangibilitating the gospel of Jesus Christ, of a beloved community. And that community was also found in the book of Acts. They shared together. They studied together. They fellowshiped together. And that's the kind of an expression that we need to have in the body politic of America, in our faith communities. We still can see reality through different lenses, but still the main thing is important that we see the light. And who is the light? Jesus, for us in the Protestant tradition. Jesus is the light of the world. But that does not mean that we ignore other lights, or the other faith communities who also embrace that universal ethical statement. What is it? Do unto others. Do unto others as you would like for others to do unto you. If you don't like people lying on you, don't lie on other folks. If you don't like being hurt or injured, don't injure other people. If you don't like being misjudged, prejudged, don't do it to others. And that is a great, a sensible, a sure moral and ethical standard and code to live by.
Dr. Brown, I'm so touched by a lot of those words, especially, you know, the reading of Come, Come, Ye Saints, such a powerful hymn and one that we can all relate to. You know, and I love this message of being engaged and seeing us as a we, right? What advice would you give to people going forward? You know, how can we come together as religions, as people, and start seeing a difference? And any advice you'd give to an individual who's trying to engage and move forward and help?
Well, I would start with a simple admonition that I got again from my mother when I left home. Before you cross the street, stop, look, and listen, and then you move. We need to, as a people, as humankind, stop, look, and listen. God gave us two eyes to see, two ears to hear, and one mouth to speak. And we need to have listening sessions in which we hear about each other's story. Listen, and you will see where we have more in common than that which divides us. But as certain profiteering people who are astute in dividing people and using rhetoric that's divisive. But we must listen first. And in the midst of the listening, be truth tellers. Tell the truth respectfully. Acknowledge that we all have fallen short. We all have failed. But there ought to be restorative justice. That's what the good news of the gospel is about. Being restored, being remade, going to the potter's house, putting oneself, one's soul back together again. And we need to put this nation back together and not implode or self-destruct. But we must listen. We must tell the truth. And I would say next, we need to be practical theologians. There's too much talk about God, too much talk about love, but it is not actualized. The book of James, that was written by James, the brother of Jesus, and he was the leader of the church at Jerusalem. What does that book say in the holy book? The good book? Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. We need to be doers of the word. Doers. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have been doers, continue to be doers of the word, being concerned about the poor, being engaged in educational pursuits in order that people might be enlightened. We have too much misinformation, no information. Ignorance is not blissful. Ignorance is dangerous. It was ignorance and misinformation that gave rise to Adolf Hitler. Young stormtroopers were taken advantage of, and through the claptrap oratory of Hitler, people were whipped up into a frenzy and they lost their humanity. They lost their respect for the worth and dignity of Jews. And that was wrong. They wanted to blame the Jews for the economic problems of Germany. And they committed the sin of Adam and Eve in the book. When they made wrong choices, what did they do? They blamed one another. Eve ended up blaming the snake. And of course, Adam blamed Eve, and the poor snake didn't have nobody to blame. We have too much blaming going on. But we are not about blame. We are about blessings. It's Church of Jesus Christ, NACP, Third Baptist, and our African-American faith community to say we have a problem. What happened in that writing by that great scholar and writer? Back to Methuselah. George Bernard Shaw uttered these words. Some people see things as they are, and they say, why? But others dream of things that ever were and say, why not? So in the midst of the crisis of misinformation, misinterpretations, economic challenges, we are saying, why not come together, turn to each other, not on each other. I have in my office a plant that you will find in Ghana, West Africa. It's called the Mimosa Purica, the Touch Me Not plant. And last year while I was in Ghana, my tour guide taught us all that during the days of the slave trade, when the enslavers came into Africa naturally they didn't know their way around in the bush. But there was a bush there, this Mimosa pudica, that if you touch the branches or the leaves will fold inward. They did not know that. But my ancestors knew that. And wherever they had gone through the bush and they saw the leaves of Mimosa pudica turning inward, they knew that there was an enemy who had come to do them harm. And they turned inward. And they went in a different direction. And what America needs to know is that an enemy is in the land. The enemy of nationalism, the enemy of racism, the enemy of misogyny, the enemy of blame. But we need to turn to each other and work together to rebuild our economy, to find a good panacea for COVID-19, to train more children in inner city schools so that they would become a credit to themselves and to the world by maybe finding a cure for cancer, maybe finding a cure for the diseases that have inflicted the human family. We are better off when we share each other's gifts. We have a better and a more harmonious world when all of the notes, as Dr. King says, are significant on the Constitution's keyboard. You don't get harmony, you don't get music, you don't get a great symphony, an opera, by having one note. That becomes dissonance, that becomes monotonous, that becomes irritating. And we have too many solos, too many one notes. We don't know how to blend and come together. And that's what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, NACP, Third Baptist, and the Black Faith Community in America are doing now. And we invite others to get the spirit, be who you are, stand by that which resonates in your soul, but know that there are other souls. And as Jesus says, I have other sheep who are of this fold. I must go and find them that there may be a broader and a wider sheepfold. And we have a broader and a wider sheepfold. We have a bigger tent with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Third Baptist, the Black Faith Community, and NACP.
Dr. Brown, I love what President Nelson said at the NAACP. He said, simply stated, we strive to build bridges of cooperation rather than walls of segregation. And Dr. Brown, that's exactly what you've said today. We sure appreciate you. We appreciate your time. We appreciate so much that you've, for all that you do and for the inspiration that you are for so many. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And let us show up for practice. And let us be a symphony of love. And may the world hear music, the sound of that music that brings us together. That music, as the poet says, it can split a knotted oak, or soothe the savage breast. That's the challenge and the charge.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. And thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Voices of Light. Have a great week.